Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Kovacs here. We have some riveting learning today in the Mishnah Yomi in Chapter 5 of Bava Metzia. That's Ezehu Neshech, about interest. Mishnah Hey, Shamin Para V'chamor. We can assess the value of a cow or a donkey. V'chol devar shu osiv ochel. And really anything that works and eats, meaning it doesn't just eat, it also can be used for work to pay for its food. Lamechza, for half and half, meaning the investing partner will provide this fully grown animal, which is able to do work, or similarly, maybe it's a tractor or something, and the managing partner doing the legwork will use this animal to work and also feed it, and whatever profits they make or whatever offspring come, they will split them. Now, this is allowed even though the investing partner is not paying the managing partner an additional wage. And here that's fine because the managing partner gets to use these animals to do work and make profit. Makom shenahu lahaluk et havladot miyad holkin. In a place where the custom is to divide the offspring of these animals immediately, really as soon as they're weaned, then they should do it then. Makom shenahu legodil yegadelu. But a place where the custom is to keep them and raise them until they're larger, maybe one third full size, then the herdsman, the managing partner, should keep them before they go ahead and sell them and split the profits between the investing partner and managing partner. And this is when they didn't write up a contract or an LLC and file paperwork. If they had written a contract about what to do and when to sell the animals, of course, we'd go by the contract. By the way, this Lashon, Kol Devar Shehu Osiv Ochel, should sound familiar from Elu Metzias, from the second chapter, where he said if you found an animal that just eats, then if the owner doesn't come pretty soon to claim his lost animal, you should probably sell it so he'll get the money back at least. But something that eats and works, you could use it for the work to pay for the food and keep the actual animal until the owner comes to claim it. The Mishnah here goes on. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Shomin Egel im Imo. Says really the calf comes with the cow, Usiach im Imo, and the colt, the young horsela, with its mother. Even though the young animals aren't really fitting to do work, they're not going to be doing any work, but since the mother is doing work, then that's enough of a benefit for the managing partner that he can also be raising the offspring. Also, Rabbi Shimon Glavinly adds, Mofri's Olsadeu, he can increase the rent on his field. And he's not going to worry about ribbit. It would be allowed. The Gemara explains the case is the landowner rented out his field for 10 kor of wheat for the year, and obviously the renter is going to work the land and make a bunch of wheat, more than 10 kor, and then pay the rent from that. And here the renter says to the landowner, listen, if you lend me some money, I'll buy a bunch of fertilizer and we're going to improve the field and it's going to get a bigger crop this year. So then the landowner can go ahead and lend out 1,000 rubles. And at the end of the year, the renter is going to give him back 1,000 rubles in rent, no more, no less. But also the landowner can raise the rate of rental because the land is going to produce more fruit this year based on the capital investment the two of them have made in this land. And that increased rent is simply an increased rent based on the land being better. It's not interest on that loan for capital improvement. On to Mishnah Vav, Ein Mekablin Son Barzel Mi'Israel. We do not accept an iron sheep from a Jew. This is not a superhero. An iron sheep means some investment where the managing partner says you will get your money back. It's guaranteed. You will not lose a cent. Mipnei shehu ribit. This is actually a case of ribit because the investing partner doesn't lose anything, he only gains. So it looks like he's always gaining money by giving up his investment property or his cash for a little while to the managing partner. The only downside is to the managing partner. So it looks a lot like ribit, even though it's not exactly a loan. We've seen this lashon son barzel in kituvot, kisuvis. This was a form of dowry where they would assess an item of dowry that the wife was bringing into the marital home, and it was guaranteed. The husband was allowed to use it, whatever the property was, an orchard, a grove, a vineyard, a sheep, but he was on the hook for the full value. The wife would not lose out on any of the value of this dowry. That was the tzon barzel. The Mishnah adds, Aval mekablin son barzel mina ovdei kochavim. But from idolaters, from non-Jews, you can accept a tzon barzel. So a Jewish person could have non-Jewish investment partners and guarantee their investment as an incentive to get them to invest in the corporation. Velovin mehen, you can also borrow from non-Jews. Umalvin mehen, you can lend to non-Jews beribit with interest. And it's important that we point out interest is not evil. It's not bad. Interest is forbidden from one Jew to another because every Jewish man and woman is like family. And you don't lend to your brother and sister with interest. You lend them what they need. You get them back on your feet. You help them out. But in the wider world, it's absolutely normal to lend with interest. Money makes money. This is the way the entire world functions. It's absolutely normal. V'chen beger toshav. The Mishnah adds also a ger toshav. This is a ger who's not exactly converted to Judaism. He's renounced idolatry, but he's still not Jewish, and he's allowed to toshav, to sit in Eretz Yisrael. Not only that, but we actually have a mitzvah in Vayikra chapter 25 to take care of him, to give him tzedakah. Even though he's not Jewish, he's at least renounced idolatry, but he too is under the rule of a non-Jew with regards to lending with interest. The Mishnah notes, Malve Yisrael ma'otav shel Oved Kochavim, midat ha'Oved Kochavim. A Jewish borrower who has money from a non-Jew in his hands can lend that money to another Jew only with the approval of the non-Jew. And in the Gemara, they explain the original Jewish lender has to take the second Jew who wants to borrow the money to the non-Jew, to his face, and have the transaction go through the non-Jew. Avalo midat Yisrael, but not just on his own accord. The Jewish lender cannot sublet the money to another Jew. It looks like a Jew is lending money to another Jew with interest, which again is not inherently evil, but between brothers and sisters is simply not appropriate. That's why the Torah has the mitzvah. Now, it's very interesting that if you study European history, that there are situations where Jews in Europe were not allowed to hold real jobs, own land, but were allowed to be money lenders. The non-Jews there, they thought that lending money with interest was inherently evil, so they let the Jews do it. But this had the side effect that if the Jews were becoming successful and the government owed them a lot of money or important people owed them a lot of money and couldn't pay back, then the non-Jewish regime would sometimes, run the Jews out of town at best, and the Jews would obviously be unable to collect the loans. And this precarious situation in Europe led to the development of modern international banking, because Jews with a lot of assets who were lending money realized they couldn't keep all their assets in one country because the government or the people there might turn against them and, dissolve the loans and seize the assets. So Jews had to keep their assets in many places. Baruch Hashem, we know, we're learning Mishnah, we're in the Eser Yimei Teshuvah, the only real protection for our assets is our Torah, our mitzvot, our belief in Hashem. That's really the only way to go. But it's an interesting historical development based on this Mishnah and based on the non-Jewish attitude that lending with interest was evil. And the Jewish attitude was, it's not evil, but it's inappropriate between brothers and sisters. Yishar kochachem, tizku le mitzvot.